Welcome to Sports Med Res's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. This past week, we had three posts on sportsmedres.org. That's res.org. The first post reported a study where the authors found that only 39% of respondents from NCAA institutions indicated that they had a written mental health screening plan. There's wide variability between mental health screening practices among the NCAA institutions. In the second post, we discussed a recent study where the authors reported that athletic trainers are familiar with osteoarthritis, but less so with post-traumatic osteoarthritis. This knowledge seems to come with years of experience in the field. Finally, the third post introduced the National Strength and Conditioning Association's position statement on the long-term athletic development. This week, Dr. Brian Petrosimone joined us to chat about his recent article on athletic trainers' familiarity with osteoarthritis.
Welcome, Brian. It's a pleasure to have you here today.
Thanks, Jeff. This is great to be here.
So I was hoping today we could talk briefly about your recent paper in the Journal of Athletic Training, where you talked about athletic trainers' knowledge of post-traumatic osteoarthritis.
Yeah, so, you know, one of our interests is actually to decrease the risk of post-traumatic osteoarthritis after an injury. And I think, you know, looking down the road, the goal would be to be able to bring interventions, you know, to clinicians that they could use to treat these patients. And, you know, part of the issue that we'll see down the road is we're not really sure how clinicians who typically treat acute injuries will react to, you know, thinking about more chronic, long-term, you know, types of injuries like post-traumatic OA. So our first step was, you know, basically to look at some of the barriers that we may face, you know, down the road and see what athletic trainers specifically, what their knowledge was of post-traumatic osteoarthritis, and basically get some ideas on their perceptions of post-traumatic osteoarthritis with their patients.
So what did you end up finding from that survey?
So we sent it out electronically to 2,000 athletic trainers randomly selected throughout the country, and we had a 22% actually sent the survey back. So I think that was, you know, about 437 people. And the majority of them had a master's degree at least, so they were, you know, fairly well-educated clinicians. And they were, you know, had a varying degree of, you know, years of clinical experience. But if I pick three main points, you know, that we found, there's a lot in the paper. One was that athletic trainers, for the most part, were able to identify what osteoarthritis was, the definition of osteoarthritis. So 85% of athletic trainers could identify osteoarthritis from a variety of different other definitions of osteoporosis or sarcopenia, for example. But only 60% were aware of the specific phenotype of post-traumatic osteoarthritis. So even though they've, you know, athletic trainers have heard of osteoarthritis, they may not be as familiar with post-traumatic osteoarthritis, which, you know, is its own phenotype, which occurs rapidly following injury. The second thing was that about 37% indicated that they didn't think that a patient having osteoarthritis was a major healthcare concern. So that's surprising and honestly a little bit scary in that, you know, knee osteoarthritis is the 11th leading cause of disability worldwide. So, you know, maybe impressing upon our profession, the amount of disability that these people have, I think, is going to be important down the road. And we also found, I think this was the most interesting, was that while the majority of athletic trainers, about 90%, knew that having an ACL injury or a meniscal tear would increase that risk of osteoarthritis, only about 70% suggested that they actually did anything, you know, in the clinic or explained this risk to their patients. And this was actually worse among, you know, inexperienced clinicians or clinicians within the first 5 years. People who had been doing this over 20 years actually reported that they took steps to decrease the risk of post-traumatic OA you know, later on, and they educate their patients.
It's interesting that it's the inexperienced people too, since the NATA's initial commitment to the chronic osteoarthritis management initiative was to educate early career athletic trainers about osteoarthritis and their role as potential gatekeepers to getting patients into the proper care for the osteoarthritis down the road. Based on the findings from this survey, what do you think is kind of the next steps? Like, what do we need to do as athletic trainers based on some of these results?
Yeah, I mean, I think just picking up there, I think the first thing that we could do is, you know, talk about this with our patients. So, I mean, it is kind of, you know, we talk about it as being the inconvenient truth, mm-hmm. you know, following a joint injury, that our patients really are living at this increased risk of having a, you know, a chronic health problem. So I think making them aware of this issue is important. And then, you know, I think the other big thing is, is to make sure that our patients realize that there's things that they can do to address this problem. Mm-hmm. So it's not just inevitable that they'll get osteoarthritis after an injury, even though they're at higher risk. You know, doing things like, you know, weight control, activity modification, talking about prevention of a secondary injury, strengthening and, you know, appropriate exercises to help decrease some of that shock around the joints of interest. I think the other big thing should be, you know, serial assessment of mm-hmm. these patients afterwards. So once they return to, you know, unrestricted physical activity, we still need to keep track of our patients and make sure that they are doing, you know, everything that we had talked about, you know, when we let them you know, go back to play.
Yeah, especially since I think we've seen a few studies over the last 2 or 3 years where we're seeing, even though these people might be returning back to play, it seems as though their quality of life is lower, or they're reporting knee pain. So they're functioning at that high level, but they're telling us on patient-reported outcomes something's wrong.
Right.
So we need to be able to pick up on those people so that obviously we can do something for them. And I think it's kind of good for people to know, too, that despite some people's perceptions that it's an inevitable disease, that there are things that we can potentially do to delay it. And it's worth noting that you and I together with a few other people wrote the article on training conditioning, which we can try and provide a link to with the podcast, where you kind of wrote out suggestions for things that athletic trainers can do and say to patients during the process. And then in 2017, Journal of Athletic Training is going to be publishing the Athletic Trainers Osteoarthritis Consortium's consensus recommendations for what athletic trainers can say and do to help prevent and manage OA. So I think that'll be a nice complement to kind of the gap that you've found in the way among athletic trainers' awareness or knowledge, and a way to kind of help inform people about that information.
I agree. I mean, I think that, you know, athletic trainers really have, you know, an important job. We don't have disease-modifying, you know, treatments at this point, and most likely any treatments that are going to be successful are going to have to happen, you know, soon after the injury, if not immediately after the injury. And I think that not only are athletic trainers seeing many of these patients who have these acute injuries, but they're also seeing them right at the right times to potentially be very successful with, you know, future treatment strategies.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, it's amazing to think that as athletic trainers, we're working with the patients at a time period where we could potentially have an impact on their quality of life for over half their life, I mean, 30, 40, 50 years beyond the time that we're actually taking care of them. Mm-hmm. Great. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. And if you're an athletic trainer who's looking to get an early start with evidence-based practice CEUs, then please check out our 4 online courses available through Human Kinetics website. We'll provide links to these courses as well as the posts that we discussed today on our podcast website. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more of our conversation with Dr. Brian Petrosimone. Until then, have a fun one.